Thursdays, you just heard Reckless Reckless by Annie Wakein. My name is Jade.
My name is Leslie. Speaking of maybe yes, maybe no, that completely like runs, no wait, no, that completely like runs parallel with our talking topic of the day, which is about Heartstopper. The story, Netflix television show / webcomic by Alice Oseman, because there is a character in the story who begins to figure out that he might be attracted to boys. And also there's like a lot of like tension between like some of the characters being like, does my friend like me? Does my friend not like me? You know, that kind of thing. Very on brand for today's topic. When we last left off, we talked about like how do you say this word?
Schmaltz. Yeah, it's a sh sound.
Schmaltz. Isn't that like chicken fat?
Yeah, it's chicken fat or any kind of animal fat in German.
Oh, okay.
It just means that it's like, I mean, it's schmaltz. I feel like you can understand what it's trying to say. It's like really like rich and viscous.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about that kind of queer
the rich and viscous kind of rich, queer viscous representation.
Kind of viscous, yeah. Queer representation. I mean, I guess one question that I have for you is, Jade, like, I have to organize my thoughts first. I guess I'll ask, like, do you have a relationship with Heartstopper at all?
I do not. The closest to a relationship I've had with Heartstopper is that I saw a video essay about it on my YouTube recommended, and I did not watch it because I didn't know anything about it. But I have heard of it. I have heard of the name, and I have some sort of idea of what it's about in terms of at least like exposition and setting, but no, not much of a relationship.
That's fair.
Maybe we are both strangers that happen to glance at each other while walking down the street. I think that's the extent of our relationship.
That's a great way of putting it. I like that allegory.
I mean, it sounds like a show about teens, but like gay.
That's so, again, so vague.
That just sounds like any show about teens.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. Does it sound like any show about teens though? And this is on topic. I'm gonna ask.
I feel like a kid who gets bullied, who has friends, who has a crush on somebody, who's like, and he's trying to figure something out about himself, gets into a relationship. His friend group helps him with some sort of personal issue. That's basically like every teen TV show.
Is that so? I like...
Which is fine. I mean, archetypes exist for a reason, right?
Right.
It's the point is the execution.
Okay. Maybe I'm hung up on the execution part because I keep thinking about like the other popular teen shows, or I don't even know if they can be considered teen shows. They depict teenagers and they're a little bit more wild.
What, like Euphoria?
Euphoria, Riverdale, I don't know, etc. That kind of thing.
I don't even know if Riverdale can count as a teen. It's just like it's a little bit too much too far out. It's more akin to Supernatural than it is to like a show about teens in high school.
Okay. All right then. But yeah, like kind of like Euphoria or like
Skins.
Skins. What are the other ones called? Elite. There's like one called Elite right now that's really
popular. Oh, I've seen Elite.
Yeah.
Or at least I've seen the first two-ish seasons. Gossip Girl.
Etc. Right, like,
I keep forgetting Gossip Girl is a teen show. Because it's so like... It's so insufferable. Everyone looks so old. Blake Lively did not look like a teenager. Neither did Ed Westwick. He looked like he was like 30.
I mean...
That's the one thing I noticed about this show, at least, that the cast actually look like teenagers.
Yeah, I think they are actually all teenagers, or like they were just very recently, until very recently, still teenagers. I think maybe the oldest cast member is like 20 or something, in their early 20s, and like.
So, like, did you like the show? I feel like you said a lot of things, but I don't remember if you actually said if you liked watching the show.
I think I did.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
There's a part of me that thinks that I shouldn't have liked it. Yeah, I'm going to be transparent about this. Because I'm still hung up, I think, on thinking like, this is too sweet of a story. This is not realistic. This is, you know, like it's too wholesome, etc. I'm still stuck on the idea that like maybe it's just a little bit too good in the sense that like it's too gentle. But I think the reality is like, I mean, if I look back into like my text logs with one of my friends who watched Heartstopper, I think I literally told her like it feeds my inner child. The reality of the situation, of course, being like, I guess, how do I say this? So one, I cried when I watched it, and I didn't want to cry. And there was nothing to cry about, to be honest, but I was crying like tears of joy watching basically like young people like develop good, healthy relationships with each other and holding space for each other, which is something
that's the ultimate fantasy.
Yeah, right? It really is.
It's fantasy fulfillment is what this show is.
Yeah. It's really different from, and I haven't seen Euphoria, but I've heard a lot about it. I've heard a lot about it.
Who hasn't?
It just sounds so different from like a lot of everything else that could be popular among teenagers that like have queer people in them. Where in those stories, like, sure, things might be like a little bit grittier, but it's also so sensationalized, I guess. And it makes me worried about kids.
See, I heard a really good theory about Euphoria. I also haven't seen it. I have heard a lot about it, but my coworker told me about this theory is that the story, like the narrative, like the actual storyline of Euphoria and like the presentation of the events actually didn't happen. Like the whole like story is actually like a fantastical narrative constructed by a teenager. It's like a reconstruction of their teen years. And it seems so wild and out there because when you're young and you have all these emotions, everything feels so wild and out there. And they're dressed up in all these like crazy outfits and they're not even carrying backpacks because like that's what that's like. It's like wish fulfillment for like a teenager. Even though their life is probably a lot more mundane where they're like over exaggerating what actually happened.
Yeah, maybe so.
Like the show is like Rue's fantasy, basically.
I mean, it is written by like an adult man, so that makes sense.
Oh yeah, I'm sure like he didn't mean it to be like that, but that theory makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't. He's a nepotism baby. He, I don't care about what he says, but it's an interesting theory.
That is an interesting one. Yeah, I mean, that would make a lot of sense. It is so, like, Euphoria just seems so intense that I hear about the stuff that goes on in it, and I'm, like, wondering about, okay, are teenagers in real life? Are they watching this and they're thinking, wow, that should be me? Or are they watching this and thinking, like, wow, that is me, or something like that? Like, kind of freaks me out. But watching Heartstopper, it made me feel like a little bit better about the, about, like, basically, like, the state of teenagerhood, teenage lives at this point. Like, maybe that's what people could aspire to these days. And I mean, it's also just like, it's, I think, like, the common criticism of it being like, oh, it's too sweet and stuff. It's like, you were right when you wrote about Love, Simon.
Right.
Like,
yeah, no, exactly. Like, so what if it's too sweet? It doesn't have to be Oscar bait. It doesn't have to be Power of the Dog for teens.
Oh my God.
Which didn't even win Best Picture. Like, they did all that for what? Right? Like, why not? Why not just have one, like, good feel-good movie, one good feel-good show about the gays?
Oh my God. Power of the Dog for teenagers. let's just revisit that. But no, yeah, I feel that way, because, like, you know, like, teenagers now, a lot of the discourse that I've seen online is that, like, queer adults are like, wow, I didn't have this when I was a teenager. Like, kids these days, they have it really easy. But I don't think, like, obviously, like, if you're a teenager and, like, you're out and queer, whatever, and, like, this is not you, you know, right in or whatever. But that's not the impression that I have of, like, queer teenagers' lives these days either. Like, I certainly don't think that, like, things are much easier for them now. To the point where, like, they can basically show public affection with their partner and, like, not, I don't know, not potentially not face violence, right? Or, like, or like physical violence anyways. We are, like, living at a point in time where, like, a lot of outward, or there's a lot more open pushback against letting young queer people exist, particularly, like, young transgender and gender nonconforming kids exist. And I guess I'm thinking, like, this kind of feels like a treat in that kind of political climate where, like, it's wish fulfillment, and it might not seem very real, but it offers a little bit of optimism to some extent.
It reminds me of that Ursula Le Guin quote that everybody loves to quote but never finishes the actual passage of what she says. The one about the end of capitalism and the divine right of kings. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm sure you've said it before, but I always forget it.
I this is paraphrasing. I don't know if this is the direct quote, but she says something like, we live in capitalism. Its powers seem inescapable, but so did the divine right of kings. And that's a pretty powerful quote, but the context of this is that she was at, I think, a some sort of gala for like the, I think it was NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts in America. And she follows that by saying, and one of the ways that the one place where we can start to see change is in the arts is through the imagination, through this revolution in the arts, which I think is also very, what's the word? Not prescient, which is also very, I think it's very important to remember that to have change, you have to have the imagination. You have to be able to imagine it, right?
Mm-hmm. The exact and full quote, according to Goodreads, is, "We live in capitalism. Its power seems inescapable. So did the divine right of kings. Any human power can be resisted and changed by human beings. Resistance and change often begins in art, and very often in our art, the art of words."
Exactly. Which also reminds me of another quote by, I can't remember which Japanese filmmaker, but this was Japan in the 60s and 70s during times of the great student uprisings and revolutionary sentiment. He said that he contended that art revolution can only actually exist through the arts, in the arts, and not really in reality, which I never really agreed with. But I think Ursula Le Guin's quote kind of uses that as a leaping point in that revolution has to be imagined first in order to exist. And that first step often lies in the arts.
It's like kind of like this popular idea among like some leftists, right? Which is that like the work doesn't start without optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't really get anywhere without optimism. Like if you're stuck in like that nihilistic place where you're like, oh, what's the point of all of this? You know, none of this is real. You know, we're all gonna die. Like you can't change things. It's hard to like even begin to change like yourself and interpersonal relationships. I think one of the great things about Heartstopper is that the showrunner was also Alice Oseman, so the person who wrote the webcomic, which essentially means that like they had a lot of say in how the story was going to go. A lot of the times, you know, we know that like film or television adaptations of like books and things like that, they can take liberties and stuff, and sometimes those liberties are very, you know,
that was a pause.
Sometimes people take a lot of liberties from stories that are are diverse and do have like a very specific, I think, thesis statement, I guess. So it's really cool to hear that Alice Oseman got to enact their vision of the story, because if you look up interviews of them talking about Heartstopper, the television series, like one thing that they keep trying to say is that like there needs to be like this kind of like sweet, cute type of story about queer teenagers depicting real teenagers and that are diverse, because you get like, there are a lot of Skins, there are a lot of Euphorias, there are a lot of shows about teenagers in which like the teenagers are not teenagers, they are adult people. You have like a lot of, you know, the slight tragic stories and trauma porn stories of queer teenagers getting bullied or harassed or disowned or hate crimed, etc. And it does like I think in like a mediascape, which like prioritizes those stories about trauma, drama, and suffering, like it is kind of like a radical act to like make a story that's not always about that. What's important in Heartstopper isn't the fact that Charlie was bullied, and like his teenage years are going to be hard, or that like the character L doesn't have a lot of friends when she moves to her new school and stuff like that. But it's about the fact that like these are just teenagers. They're trying to like live their lives. They're trying to survive, and they have good friends who can be there with them along the way. I don't know. I think that's a very nice thing about Heartstopper.
That was a nice thing you said. We're gonna play some more music.
Okay, let's do that.
Coming up is Crocodile Tears by Baseball Game. Enjoy.
This is a song about me.
Are you a crocodile? Are you a baseball or a crocodile?
I'm a baseball.
Get started.
Studio 6, CJSF's video series, captures high-quality video recordings of live performances and interviews with impactful and inspiring artists.
That's so nice to hear.
It's when we're at our best, personally and professionally, I feel like.
I saw you guys at a show for Mr. Merlot at Toast Collective. I was wondering if you guys had any like local favorites in the scene.
I like Man Eater is so good, coming out with a new tape really soon. There's something to look out for.
The series engages artists in the conversations about the community and cool topics that affect them the most.
The way your vocals fit in, right, kind of in this other layer, and your guitar and your drums, and you're able to make this like impressive amount of sound for just the two of you. So I just wanted to get into that.
Mm-hmm. You can watch the Studio 6 live sessions on CJSF's YouTube channel or on our website at cjsf.ca/studio6.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. Again, you just heard Crocodile Tears by Baseball Game. My name is Jade.
My name is Leslie. We're talking about Heartstopper today, the webcomic, and then the television series adaptation of the webcomic, both written by Alice Oseman. Do you have final thoughts about Heartstopper?
I don't have final thoughts about Heartstopper, but I feel like it's about time that I give the answer to my logic game question. Okay. I posed at the beginning of this episode.
Okay.
What's your guess?
I don't want to
read it again. So you're just going to have to go by your heart.
I stopped listening like after maybe the third sentence. I'm really not good at those. I guess I would never be able to like study for the LSATs. I'd pick up the book and then I'd feel tired and then I'd put it down and then I'd pass out for 3 days.
That's basically what I did last week. So you're not that far off. But the answer is C.
Oh, interesting.
Is it?
Yeah, super.
Nelson, Orozco, Patton, and Robinson.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I thought it was going to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was too. My gut answer.
But... Wow, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all on track to ace the LSAT. Even though you can't technically ace it. It's
what? Why?
Like it's not well. It's not. The grades aren't letter grades, so you can't get an A on it. It's out of 180, so you can 180 it, but not ace it. Even Elle Woods didn't get in 180. She got a 179.
You should dye your hair blonde.
Oh my God. Do you think that would help?
Yeah, I think it would.
I honestly.
Get a small dog. Go into your pink era.
A chihuahua? I'm not getting a chihuahua. That's not happening. I guess I also have to submit my personal statement as a video. With me in a bikini in a pool.
It could work. It's very innovative.
You know, I don't want to get blacklisted.
Okay, well, we'll just keep thinking about it, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right, Lynn, in that case, we're going to end the show for today. Thanks for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Did you watch Heartstopper? If you did, what are your thoughts about it? Let us know through the DMs on Instagram. You can follow us there as well. We are at Typically Tuesdays. Tune in to more great CJSF programming by checking out Intravenous. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11, talking all things, all genders, you know, the state of gender right now is very good. So tune into that program.
The rates are real good right now.
It's so, the stocks going up yeah. The value. Oof.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, who? NFTs, what? My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade. Final song is new music by the Cold War Kids. What You Say featuring Zella Day.